We need to lift our voices really well and sing his praises. Welcome. I see we have at least two visitors here this morning. I don't know that I see any others, but if you are, welcome. Welcome to Lake Country Bible Church. We're thrilled to have you. We want you back. If you would be so kind as to look in the pouch in the chair in front of you, there should be an envelope with a pen and a form, and if you put your name and information on that and drop that in that basket on the right-hand side of the door on the way out, let us know a little bit about yourselves. Maybe we can get in touch with each other, and we can make sure you know you're welcome to come back, and we want you back real bad. By the way, I'm going to even get the names right. That's John and Avery. I actually remembered the names. So welcome, y'all. Welcome all. And let's just praise the Lord this morning.
Well, good morning, Lake Country. And good morning, John and Avery. No pressure at all, guys. We'll try to be friendly your first Sunday here with us anyway. Join me in your bulletins, if you would. Middle page to the right, announcements. Prayer meeting is every Sunday at 9 a.m., of course. Everyone is welcome to join in prayer. That happens through this room here to the side. There's usually about a dozen people that are able to make it on Sunday mornings. It's a good time of prayer for the church, the facilities, everything going on here in the community. If you'd like to be part of that, you are more than welcome to join us there. 9 a.m. again. Women's Bible study, Tuesday, 6:30 to 9 p.m. approximate, with Terry Buckley leading the study of 2 Samuel. All women are encouraged and invited to attend and bring a friend. Wednesday night services, prayer and Bible study, 6 p.m. Please come. Again, all are invited. We do that here in this sanctuary. I think, Ray, you're leading that study on Wednesday night still, correct? Excellent, excellent. Kindness Cottage food donations, January 28th and February 4th. Requested items include 1-pound bag of dried pinto beans, macaroni, spaghetti noodles, jellies, canned diced tomatoes, tomato sauce. Please put items on the table in the foyer. As you're heading out, you'll see a couple of items already there. If you have some of those items you'd like to donate or something that's not on the list, those are welcome as well. Men's prayer group is Friday, 8 a.m. at the Red Dome Equipment. It's the first Friday of every month is what we try to do on that one. If you're able to join that on Friday, on the first Friday at 8 a.m. at the Red Dome in Quitman. Again, it's a good time for the men of the church to get together and pray for the community, needs of the church, things happening even nationally and worldwide. It's a good time of fellowship. We usually have a bite to eat, breakfast, and a good time in prayer together. Community gospel singing, Saturday, February 17th at 6 p.m. We will be blessed with the performances and leading by the West Side Band from West Side Baptist Church of Honey Grove, Texas. Anyone interested in doing a special, please contact Brad Long. That's this guy up here. After the services, he enjoys doing special music up here. But every now and then, if one of you feels so led, just contact him. He's your point of contact for that. There you go. Now join me in prayer if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house, to be among your people, and to study in your word with people who are faithful in study and faithful in teaching. Lord, we thank you for safe travels for everyone who is here. We ask, Lord, that you be with Mike in his absence this morning. We ask, Lord, that you be with him and heal his body, that he may return to us and pastor us as you have chosen him to do so. Ask the Lord that you be with Nancy to give her wisdom and how to help Mike during this time, how to minister to him as a wife, give them the strength and to draw near to one another and draw near to you as well. We thank you, Lord, for faithful men who are willing to stand up in the gap, even at a moment's notice. Thank you for Ray and his presence here this morning and his willingness to teach us and lead us in your word. Thank you, Lord, for a faithful music team and Brenda and Brad, their faithfulness in being here Sunday, every Sunday, and lead us in worship of you. We thank you for them and the people in the background that do so many things that often go unnoticed, from the sound room to bookkeeping to the cleaning crew. We thank you so much for the women's ministry as well and the women that find fellowship and service together in these walls. I ask, Lord, that you continue to rise up people within your, in this place that seek to serve you, to serve your mission for the ages, and that is sharing the gospel to the community around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Join me for scripture reading, if you would, in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll be in chapter 5. If you're in a Schofield, it's 1578. If you're not, then good luck. First Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to go 1 through 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
About 7 o'clock this morning, I got a call about Mike's stomach ailments, and I thought there was three things I could do. I could either come and preach, or I could call Wes, or I could call Terry Posey and tell him, Pastor told me to tell you to do it. So just so you know, I want you to be prepared. Since 7 o'clock this morning, I've written a 585 pages sermon for you. If you believe that, then you know where I'm coming from. Pastor always kind of starts off with a joke, and I wouldn't say this is a joke, but anyway, the lady got up in the morning, went to the refrigerator, and she opened the door, and there was a rabbit in there, and she said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm resting. Isn't this Westinghouse?" I know that's old and stale, and so now you'll appreciate Mike's jokes. You know, the world's kind of in a really, really bad situation. Has been since Sodom and Gomorrah. Before that, it's been in a bad, bad situation. And when we look at it, we see more evil going on now than ever before. Just see one evil thing right after another, and you know, the real problem is we don't even see it all. I once went to the courthouse and talked to a brand new judge. He'd been in office, federal district court judge. Now, whether you know it or not, a federal district judge has more power than the president, really. If he has the case presented to him, he has an awful lot of power. And he'd been on the bench 3 weeks, and he said, "Ray, I can't tell you how many times my life has been threatened in 3 weeks because I'm on this bench." So there's things going on behind the scenes that we don't even see, things that we can be afraid of, things that we can be concerned about, and we can worry about that. Just worry and worry and worry all we want to. But I want to talk to you about God. I want to talk to you about the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. My wife's favorite verse is, and I'm paraphrasing this, so you'll have to forgive me. Do not be afraid because the words of the words you've heard. 2 Timothy says, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word in preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so that's kind of my reason for being here and reason why I undertake to do this on a short notice. Isaiah 58:11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee constantly and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bone, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water faileth not. Well, you see what God's really talking about here is He's cultivating His garden. That's you. That's you. He's cultivating you. He's cultivating me. God is cultivating you and me. Hebrews 10:23, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, says, He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. God, the Lord, promised. And Psalm 37:7 says, rest, rest in the Lord. Are you resting in the Lord, or are you fearful of everything that's going on? Do you worry about what happened yesterday? Do you worry about the fact that the electric switch on my shop burned up and I can't work in my shop? Do I worry about that? Do you worry about that? Do you worry about what's going on in the federal government? Well, are you cultivating the Lord? The Lord cultivates you, seeks to cultivate you, waters you, He says in Psalm. Waters you. Waters us. Are we cultivating God? You know, rest in the Lord. Rest is a really big word. It's only four letters, but it's really, really a big letter, a big, big word. You know, for a lot of us, rest means we sleep, get a good night's sleep. Those of us that are my age know that never happens. Know the bones ache and the bones creak and the joints don't work right. And then you get to thinking about what you could have been doing and should have been doing, and before you know it, you don't sleep at all. Ever have that happen? Well, that's what we face as old folks. But rest is a big word. Rest has a different meanings depending on how you look at it. It is sleep. It is rest from our labors and from our work. In the military, they take rests. They transfer people in and transfer people out of the have the battle, and they take a rest. That's kind of rest. If you're working, you know, if you're working, you're working long hours. I once had a job that, my grandfather was really very generous. He paid me to work and paid me to mow lawns. I got $1 a yard. Didn't matter how big it was. Didn't matter how small it was. Didn't matter how long it took me. So I spent spent 3 days mowing for my $1. But if I really hurried and, you know, if I really worked at it, I could make $10 or $15 a day working for my grandfather. And in Kansas, those hot days were 110 degrees, and so at the end of the day, you really felt like you deserved the rest. I had another job working in the refinery, and in the refinery they sent us up into the little machine or equipment that they made wax to wax the inside of beer cans so that the beer wouldn't eat the way the metal into the beer. They put this wax, and these wax pipes that they ran the wax through, they had to be bore out with a drill, and they sent us up into those bowls where they were melting the wax just right after they'd turned off the heat, and it was hot. It was so hot it burned through your souls, made you, so they told us you work 10 minutes in there and 30 minutes out. 10 minutes in, 30 minutes out. Well, that 30 minutes out was sure a great relief. Hard work. In football or in sports games, they have a rest. They take a timeout or they have a rest. But there's other kinds of rest. You know, in archaeology, Ruth and I just have gotten a book here recently. And you know from experience that I'm always fascinated by the books, but this is a book of archaeology, where God came down. Kind of an interesting book because it's written by Joel P. Kramer. He's an erstwhile Christian archaeologist. And the book starts off really early on and says from the very outset, from the very start, that the majority of the archaeologists in the world don't believe in God. And so when they examine what happened on Moriah, Mount Moriah, when they examine that, even though they find little tidbits that would indicate or suggest that the biblical version of what happened there is true, and they did. They did. They found little trinkets, not the whole thing, just little trinkets. Those majority of the archaeologists, because they don't believe in God, would say anything they could just to make sure that you didn't believe in God. But you see those little bits, tidbits of Christ's world found a resting place in archaeology. And that's what those archaeologists go to find. Well, that's a resting place, I guess. In courts, if you're in a trial and you're putting on testimony for one party or the other and you get your testimony finished, whatever your case is, whatever you can say, if you're in court, why, the attorneys rest. When they say they rest, they don't mean they rest, lay down. They don't say that they quit or give up. What they're saying is they put all the testimony on in the trial that they have. Well, that's an interesting bunch of rests, I guess. Rest from fatigue, rest from old age. But God says to rest in His promises. Rest in His promises. As you know, I like books. You know that because I told you about the archaeology book. And I was given this by my brother. The book he sent me at Christmas expected me to read it, I think. And it is interesting reading. The title of it is The Saints' Everlasting Rest. Written by Richard Baxter, written in the year 1650. 1650, and this is an updated, abridged copy, because you see, I joked about that 580-page document, but this book, when it was originally written, was 580 pages written in Old English. Very, very, very difficult to read. And so the people that have written this abridgment have t- toned it down a little bit to about 145 pages. Really toned it down from 585. But Baxter was considered really a proponent of everlasting rest of the saints. And I'm going to give you just kind of the introduction, because you see, I've just gotten into and started reading the book. So what he's really looking at, you see, is and talks about in the book is we have rest in God in salvation. We're saved. We have a rest in God knowing. We rest. We know. We feel confident and comfortable, so we can rest in knowing that. We don't have to worry about our salvation because we can rest in that. We know that we have been saved because we believe in the Almighty God that created Jesus Christ and sent to earth to save our soul. And all we really have to do is just believe in Jesus and what he did. That's what God does and says. And so we can rest in our salvation. And then secondly, we can rest in sanctification. We can rest in growing like Christ, being more Christ-like, because we know that we are growing. And you see, if we have the opportunity to, then we have opportunity from time to time to share the Word of God. And the way we get to the point that we can do that is to grow in wisdom and understanding of Christ and what God would have us do. Then we need to turn to, you see, God and talk to him and walk with him. And Baxter, in his article here, makes several things very clear that he feels like we ought to be doing. He suggests that we ought to be meditating on heaven. Well, in order to meditate on heaven, we need to probably read the Word. So first thing is we need to read what God has to say in his Word. Then we can meditate and think about what heaven is all about. What is heaven like? What is heaven really, really like? And you know, if you sit back and think about it, if you think about it, every time you read the Bible, you learn something new. My guess is, you see, if heaven is like earth for Christians, and I think it must be better than earth, what's going to happen is he's going to be teaching us and teaching us and teaching us and teaching us and teaching us, and so we need to meditate on what God would have us do, because what he's really asking us to do is to be more Christ-like, to be a walk and talk like Christ. So we ought to meditate on what heaven's like. And then he says we ought to self-talk. Do you talk to yourself? Do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible and then think about it? Do you talk to yourself about what the Bible says? Do you think, well, this is what Christ is saying, this is what God is saying to me? Because that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. And if you're just reading it and passing it off and going on to the next thing, you're just reading it. If I did that in my law practice, I wouldn't have understood the terms of the cases involved at all. Have to meditate on it, think about it, and think of the meaning of the terms. What do the terms mean? What are they really, really saying when you're reading the Word? Oh my goodness, it's not just reading. You see, it's talking with myself. It's meditation. It's coaxing our own hearts to be more like Christ. How do we talk to ourselves? Do we go to bed at night and do we talk to God? Does He talk to you? See, He doesn't really talk to you in terms like you and I are talking to each other. He talks to you in your mind. He gives you thoughts that He wants you to think about. And if you really concentrate on what He's saying, you'll meditate and you'll coax out of your mind and your system those things which He really wants you to know. How do we talk to ourselves? Do you really talk to yourself about what God would have you talk about? Well, we sometimes think, you see, that God is mysterious. God works in mysterious ways. But if you really think about it, if you really think about what God's really doing is He's working in a very methodical, step-by-step process. And He kind of looks to us to follow that same sort of a pattern, step-by-step, organized. By means, by the way, God organized everything. And if you really don't think He's organized, how in the world do you think He understood the engineering that it took to put that, you know, the football player throws a 70-yard pass down the field and everybody cheers in the stand. But God's put that sun out there in a perfect position. God's put that moon out there in the perfect position. Not only that, but He's put galaxies out there and planets out there in a perfect, perfect position. That doesn't work by happenstance. That doesn't work by happenstance. And you and I are not a happenstance. God created you and I to do His work. And His work is to be organized and to teach and share the gospel message. God is cultivating us. He's doing it by the way we said and watering in the garden. So, how do we then respond to God? How do we respond to Him? If we don't turn and read the Bible and study it and think about it, we're missing the point. We're missing the value of reading the Word. We're missing the very blessings and benefits of reading the Word. So, God would have us pray. God would have us study the Word. God would have us mediate on His heaven, mediate on the Word, and self-talk and think. God works in organized ways, and we need to read and study and learn what that is. So, you see, you could say that this is a imposition to be called at 7 o'clock in the morning to come give a message. It's an imposition? Oh, no. You see, it's not an imposition because that's what God really tells us to do. Be ready in season and out of season to share the gospel message. That's not somebody that comes up here and sits up here, but that's you. That's you all, to be ready to share the God's message with people that come in contact with you. In subtle ways. So it isn't always, you see, obvious. As a lawyer, I was appointed to represent juveniles in the criminal court. as a lawyer, I would go into the criminal court. You see, I had a pass to go into the criminal court. An interesting place, because the jail in Dallas, you see, is a circle room, and there's 8 beds around the circle, and there's a bed for each one of those kids. And I got in there to see that. I got in there to talk to those guys because I was court appointed. How many of you have actually done that? And then you talk to them, you see, and the first thing you ask them is, do you go to church? Interesting response. Oh yes, we used to go to church. And so then I always ask them, I say, well, you know, if you had been in church instead of stealing that case of Coke off of the Coke truck, do you suppose you would be here? And I would sometimes bring those young men into my office because I had to evaluate what the case is all about. And I'd bring them into the office with their mom, and their mom would sometimes give him the good soft chair that I save for moms, and she'd sit in the hard chair, the hard wooden chair, and I'd say, oh, no, you sit there. And then I would tell that boy, you know, the last boy that sat in that chair died. You see, he was dealing drugs with a drug dealer. He was dealing drugs with a drug dealer, and he didn't pay. And so I got his grandfather, to pay off the $5,000 to the drug dealer and moved him clear across the county. His mom called me when I got back from vacation after that and said, he's dead. I said, what in the world happened? Well, you know, the brother got interested in making all that money. Some of those drug dealers can help you make kids. These are kids. Have no parents, some of them. Have no car. Make $10,000 a week selling drugs. His brother liked the idea of making that kind of money. So they didn't pay him. He didn't pay the drug dealer. So they came to shoot him. Going to take him. Take him out. And my client, my original client, the older brother, stepped in front, took the bullet, died. So, you see, you and I learn from experiences, our experiences about what happened. Now, we don't learn about what God says. We learn about what people do, what people does, what they go on in their minds. That's what we learn. And we learn how that impacts us. And sometimes you see that the things we learn are evil. But sometimes we learn those things that people do to cultivate their relationship with God, that they undertake to do to cultivate their relationship with God. So they get an understanding of what God would have them do. We all were made for a purpose. We were made for a purpose to do the work that He asked us to do. And He didn't make us all in creatures, didn't make us all one thing. He made us in different things. So some people are really painters, and some people are electricians and other jobs. But each and every one, wherever we are, we have an opportunity to share that gospel message. And we have that concern that we fear what's going on in the world, fear what's going on. Let that dominate our thinking. Let that dominate what we do from day to day. Let that dominate our concerns so that we are fearful all the time. But if we're in the Word, and if we're reading the Word, then we start reading the Word, start cultivating our relationship with God, and what we get is then a relationship with Him that is Christ-like. So, Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful to promise us salvation, sanctification, as long as we are working to understand that, so long as we are cultivating our relationship with him. Let me turn to 1 Thessalonians then, which was what they read in the Bible verse this morning. And let's read that again in the light of resting. But the times and the seasons there, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travel upon the woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that in the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light, and the children of the day, and we are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us look to the rest in God. Let us look to the rest in Christ Jesus. Let us look to being not fearful because we're resting in the promises of God. Let us seek to be communicating with God. Let us seek our cultivation of our relationship with God by reading the Word and by praying, by being ready and able. Every one of you, don't look at me funny, you all. Every one of you are going to have an opportunity, not today, not tomorrow maybe, but every one of you are going to have an opportunity within the next week to share what you know about what God says in this Word. Every one of you are going to have that opportunity. Do you recognize it? Will you recognize it? Will you recognize that you had an opportunity to share that with somebody that really, really needs to hear the Word? Oh yeah, you see, the little boy in the jail, he had nowhere he could go. He had no way to avoid me. That's pretty easy stuff. You can talk to him there. But in the world that we have today, in the world that we are working in, look at how many people aren't here, who don't come, who don't read, who don't do what we think God's people should do. Look at how many of them. And trying to reach those people is difficult. It takes ingenuity. It takes your thinking about what God is saying. It takes your cultivation with God and learning what God would have you do in order to know how to understand and how to share with that individual. And I suggest to you and I ask each of you to think about it and see if you don't have somebody in this coming week that you have an opportunity to share your understanding of God with. Think about it. Are you cultivating God? Is God cultivating you? He can't cultivate you. You see, if you disobey God, if you don't do what God asks of you, then what happens is, every time you disobey, every time you sin, what happens is God's got to go back and start over cultivating you again, working to encourage you to become Christ-like, more like Christ, walk like Christ, talk like Christ. Ruth had been reading a book about Robert E. Lee. And Robert E. Lee, after he lost the battle, you see, he was a loser. He was a loser that wasn't because he sinned. He was just a loser. So God didn't have to go back and change his way of thinking. But he was a loser. He'd lost the battle. So he then undertakes to train men to be good Christian men in Washington University. And God doesn't change his application of the Word of God because he had the Word of God and he was applying it in accordance with what he believed. Are you and I doing that? Are we applying the Word of God the way Robert E. Lee was by training somebody? Is there somebody in your world that you can teach or train? Is there somebody that you can share the gospel message with? Can you reach one of those people that's adamant that they don't believe? They don't believe anything? Can you reach them? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for this word. We want to thank you for the lessons that you share with us. We want to thank you that you give us an opportunity to try to teach and preach your word, to share your gospel message. We pray, Father, that each of us have that opportunity and that we recognize those opportunities when we have them and that we actually undertake to do that and share with somebody the word of God, what God says to us, what you would have us say, what we need to be doing. We pray these things in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen.